Stand firm. What a command that is, that you either stand for something or you're nothing. Okay? You won't stand for anything. You're a wimp. So naturally, a Christian always stands for something. He stands for the Word of God. And the Word of God is a tool. It is power. It is strength. It is truth. It is love. It is understanding. And in understanding how precious it is that we have each other in a family of God's own love to do the bidding that He would have us do, especially in these end times. Through Passover, we learned that as it was coming out of Egypt, so it would be at the end when you come out of Babylon, confusion. And we're going to go there today to begin this Stand Firm lecture to the 14th chapter of the great book of Exodus, the coming out. And the children of Israel are moaning and groaning about times are hard and we shouldn't have left Egypt. Let's go back and be back in bondage again. And let's just go back and be under Pharaoh. We're a free people and we have to be free. And we always fight for that freedom. But these were soft, had been misled, and were listening to nonsense. And Moses kind of takes charge and he tells them, as he listens to them in verse 12 of chapter 14, listen carefully. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. You want to be careful that if you capitulate to anyone, say, let's don't fight them anymore. They're terrorists, but it's okay. As it was in Egypt, you know, let's just get along. That's a good way to always be a slave. That's a good way to always be in bondage, is not to stand for something, especially the Word of God. Verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. That means stand for something. Learn how to stand still and listen to God for a minute instead of listening to yo-yos and half-cracked people that are going to try to preach to you in this world. Listen to God. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show thee, will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. In other words, God takes over. He's going to destroy them. Any enemy of Christian peoples that serve the 10 tribe Israel, even the 12 tribe Israel, they have God's blessings when you believe Him, love Him, follow Him, trust Him. So you've got to stand still and listen to the Word. Listen to the Word of God. Men will confuse you, deceive you, and mislead you. That's why you want to always check this man or any other man out in the Word of God. Verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. You're going to listen to Him and keep kind of your little strategies out of it. Listen to His plan. Verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Don't just stand there. Do something. Stand for something. Move. March. Do what's right. Verse 16. But lift, first he says to Moses, but lift thou up the rod, thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go over on dry ground through the midst of the sea. How is that like in the end times? What is the flood, the water, the sea? It's the flood that comes from Satan's mouth in Revelation chapter 12, verse 15. Can you lift the Word of God and part those lies and know the truth and see the beauty of God's Word? or are you blind?
Okay.
That's what you have to do. You have to trust Him, listen to Him, and lift the Word itself in part. The sea symbolic, as you would read in Revelation 17, is the people that would deceive you. Can you part truth from lies through the Word of God and understand? So sometimes we have to stand. You have to stand on your own and the Word, of course. Why? Because God will always protect you. You know, many people say, well, I wish I could believe. If you had to stand in my shoes for the last 25 years where a little church in Northwest Arkansas has become the largest independent church in the world with over 325 television stations on all the satellites and even have our own transponder. You know, how did that happen? God's power. Following the truth. Dividing the deception. Separating lies from truth, and follow that path. And God will always bless you. Let's go now, if we may, to the New Testament. We'll go to the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Some of Paul's last warnings as he teaches to those at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he has just given us one of the most important chapters in the Word of God, the 15th chapter, where he says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact that you've got two bodies. You've got this flesh body, but you also have a spiritual body, that if you love the Lord, you're going to live forever. Otherwise, he tells us where we're probably going. Okay. And here he's summing things up, basically. And we catch it in verse 13 of chapter 16, 1 Corinthians. And verse 13 reads, watch ye. What does that mean? Well, you're a watchman. Well, what are you supposed to watch? The things that he said would come to pass in your generation, the generation of the fig tree. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. This is an old Anglo-Saxon word that means act manly. Now you can take gender away from that, and what it means is to act mature as mature Christians. Don't be willy-wogged around. Okay. Stay with the truth. Stand fast. Stand firm. You know, you can listen to this person 15 minutes and that person, and you're going by the law of precedent. And that's why we're in such trouble even in our judicial system today. These people being messed around with the law of precedent rather than the actual law of our Constitution taken from this law, the Word of God. Stand fast. Stand firm. Amount to something. Have your own credentials and credibility. And don't let anyone mess with your credibility. Let it always surpass. Let it always stand firm. Stand for something. Well, what do you mean? Well, stand for Christ. He died for you. So that you could have the opportunity in this world to make that stand, knowing from where your power comes. Well, where does my power come from? From the Father. We're nothing without Him. And with Him, we have everything. Verse 14, let all your things be done with charity. That's to say, with love. Loving what? Loving the Father and loving your neighbor, your friends, and those members of the congregation that know the truth and see the truth. Let's go now, if we may, to the great book of Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 3. And let's pick it up in verse 6, if we may. Verse 6 says, Paul is telling them that he couldn't quite make this trip, but he sent Timotheus, which is to say Timothy, as we say it, And Timothy has returned, and this is the message he gave. Verse 6, chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians. But now when Timotheus, or Timothy, came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, they were holding that in line, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, that's to say those that brought the word of God, desiring greatly to see you, see us rather, as we also to see you. In other words, the church was growing. Why was it growing? Because they were steadfast in truth and love, charity towards each other. 7, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. In other words, even though we were having a rough time, seeing your faith and to know that that truth produces, that that truth strengthens, that it can make your life worth something, it sets you apart as a child of God, a child that God blesses. And so it is. Doesn't mean you may not have hardships, but he tells you how to handle them. Hey, that's no step for a stepper. Verse 8, for now we live, and this means eternal, not just living from one day to the next or one payday to the next. We live eternally. You're guaranteed eternal life if you stand fast in the Lord. And there it is. You've got to make that stand, beloved. That you have to make that commitment. What if I don't make that commitment? Well, if you had a child, and you wanted them to help you do a certain thing, and they told you, well, if I get around to it after a while, maybe I won't. How would you feel towards that child? There's no commitment. You're not going to help that child until that child obeys. It's the same way with God. Until you make that commitment to stand, to make a difference, then when trouble comes, he'll get you through it. He will always. This is why 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 is so important, and you should never forget it. What God says to you there through Paul is, there's nothing happening to you that doesn't happen to everybody, so don't get all shook up over it. I add that. And what is, I will never tempt you or test you over what you're able to handle. And then he gives you the best of all. He says, I will always show you a way through, a way out. Why? Because he loves you. And he means it. When you make that commitment to him, when you make that stand, when your credibility is set and your credentials are set in concrete, I mean, it means something to you. You don't just give in to every little whim that comes along. And when Satan's lies and deceptions come along, you take the word of God and you split it right down the middle. You brush it to one side. And you do what's right. And I thank our Father that we have people today that are willing to put it all on the line for the simple truth. Rather, that makes them wealthy because they have the blessings of God. So making that stand is very important. Making that commitment, it sets you apart from other people. It lets God know that you're sincere, and that you have that stability that he can count on. Let's cut away some of the top layer. We know there was a first age before this. Science documents it. The Word of God documents it. The Hebrew manuscripts make it very clear that there was a first earth age when mammoths and dinosaurs wandered this earth. As you find the artifacts, that's no mystery to God's Word. If you have eyes to see the truth and understand the three earth ages. Then when Satan rebelled, certain people had the brass horns to stand against him. That way God could choose them now, then even, to interfere in their lives if he chose to bring to pass what is written. They're called to be foreordained, as it is written in Romans chapter 8, because of he knew he could trust you, that you would not give in to Satan. for under any conditions that you would make a stand. He knows that. That's why He can graciously give you eternal life and bless you, even when a little hardship comes along. Verse 9, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God?" The fact that you love Him, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. This word perfect mean, or perfect means to mature, to bring to maturity, to have a real serious thought, to be serious before Almighty God. Verse 11, "Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our ways unto you." Make it possible, in other words. "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." You know, a true Christian has the ability to love all people. Why? You can afford to. You can be generous because God loves you. And all the ramifications, according to the Word of God that allows this, then we follow that path, that law, for there is the law even of citizenship in the kingdom. And we thank our Father for that. Generous and loving to all our Father is, because why? There is not one living soul that's not a child of God. As it's written in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, "All souls belong to me." You've heard these preachers say, you need to get around to giving your soul to God. Too late, friend. He's already got it. It's His to do with as He chooses. But He's always fair. His credibility is impeccable. And you're going to get whatever you deserve. And however it happens. And so it is. This is why you want to do works that are pleasing to Him. Nobody's perfect. We all mess up at times. That's why repentance is there, and He takes you in His arms and loves you like you would one of your own children, and for on repentance. And the family is whole again in love and understanding and truth. That's God's way. And that's why God's strength comes into families and welds them together. Nobody can interfere with that family, because they're a family in Almighty God. Verse 12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." And then to complete the chapter, "to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." That's why the truth should be important to you. You want to be holy right up to the end. You don't want to be deceived. You want to carry that torch of truth. And men on large majorities will be deceived, unfortunately. Why? They've never studied the Word. They've listened to men. And, well, it's a preacher. If a preacher says it, let me tell you something. Among all the preachers in this nation, there are very few scholars. There's a difference between a scholar and a preacher. Okay? There's a difference between a teacher, even, and a scholar. But you need to get a little more depth, and that is the simplicity in which Christ teaches. It's not some complicated thing. Man complicates it. Man, as it was mentioned several times in the Word of God, that it's like an old he-goat to where the water is clear, but he'll get in and stomp around and stir up the mud till it's not clear. And that's what a lot of your so-called speakers will do if you're not careful. They pull away from God's love, in the simplicity of standing against our enemy, which is to say, Satan. Okay. There's another place you're supposed to stand. He mentioned it there, the return of Jesus Christ. You happen to live in the generation of the fig tree. This is one that Jesus said to you in Mark 13, maybe you should learn it. He said, learn it. And He meant it. Well, because it lets you know the generation on which the end would finally come. Nobody knows the time or the hour, but the wise do know the season, as Daniel chapter 12 reports. So let's go to another place in this same letter. In the fourth chapter, the very next chapter here in 1 Thessalonians really confuses a lot of people. Paul makes it very clear. Let me just say a word or two about it. In the 13th and 14th verse, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant like the heathen. I'm quoting verbatim in memory from chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant like the heathen concerning if you believe Christ rose from the dead, then you better believe all those that are asleep or have died in him are with him. They've risen also. They're not out here in a hole in the ground. And at the last trump, we who are alive and remain, and this is the subject of Thessalonians, is our gathering back to Christ. We that are alive and remain will be changed into that spiritual body and join them right here on earth, as it is written in Revelation chapter 21, to overcome. Now, a lot of people are going to tell you, we're going to fly away. The word just doesn't say it. As a matter of fact, Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 18 through 20, God says, I'm against people that teach my children to fly to save their soul. I'm against it. If God's against it, you better stay out of that house and get to the truth. So what is it like, the coming of Christ, our gathering back to Him? Go on, if you will, to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians naturally follows 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. There's a stand here you should make. And let's cover it real slow and real well. Verse 2. The subject is our gathering back to Christ. Okay, how's it going to happen? Do you want to listen to God or do you want to listen to man? Let's see what God has to say about it. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together into Him. Now what's the subject? Christ returning and our gathering back to them. Don't let anyone deceive you. That's what it says, and that's what it means. Verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Why? What he's saying here is don't let some dreamer, some letter from us, don't misunderstand it. He's talking about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Don't let that throw you. Because there's no way Christ is returning and we're going to gather back to Him until the next verse is completed. Well, what is it? Well, let's check it out. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Well, what day is that? The return of Christ. It shall not come except there come a falling away first. That's the word in the Greek is apostasy. Okay. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Perdition is a palia, Satan's name in the Greek. Okay. Prime root. And there is no way that Christ is going to return to this earth until the man of sin, Satan, appears first. This is what flyaway doctrine will get you in trouble if you're not careful. Because you know what that son of perdition is going to say? I've come to gather you away. And people haven't been taught and have not read the simplicity in which God, our Father's Word, brings this forth. What is this son of perdition? Now, let me say something to you in case maybe you don't know, but what does it mean, perdition? It means to perish. There is only one entity that has already been sentenced to perish by name. Only one. And you can read it in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. It's none other than Satan himself, the king of Tyrus, which is the Tyrus in the Hebrew tongue is rock, the wrong rock. Okay. So who is it talking about here? It's talking about Satan. Well, what is Satan going to be doing there? Verse 4, listen carefully. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is talking about Jerusalem. It's talking about the mount. He will appear there. He will claim to be Jesus Christ. He will claim to be Almighty God. Emmanuel, God with us. How many people are going to believe him? I mean, hey, this dude, as it is written in Revelation 13, can snap his fingers and lightning come down from heaven. He's supernatural. A lot of people are going to be sucked in by that. One, because of their ignorance that that day would come. And it is God's testing of his children. That's when you want to remember, you make a stand. You stand for what you know is true. You're not one of Satan's little children. He's not going to deceive you for one moment. You can take the word of God and lift that staff and split those lies right down the middle and stay on solid ground, the ground of truth. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was with you, yet with you, I told you these things? When we were sitting around the campfire, I shared all this with you in detail. Don't you remember? Verse 6, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Now you know where Jerusalem is, the land of Judea. You know what Daniel said about the days of abomination and how it would come to pass. You can't be fooled. Why? Because you have the truth. Verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. This verse throws a lot of people because they don't understand the Greek. Okay. The verb in this verse is transitive. Okay. What does that mean? What does being transitive, the verb being transitive, mean? It means that you must transfer the subject and object and even the article back to verse 4, of whom is being discussed. Well, it's Satan. Okay. Well, who holds Satan now? Well, haven't you never read Revelation 12, verses 6 and 7? Michael and the archangel told him that they're going to boot him out on earth. And then woe to you on earth that are deceived by him. In other words, only until Michael is ready to release him, then, and then only, shall he come flooding to this earth. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. You do not want to have worshipped that one. Many people will because of their ignorance and not appreciating the word of God. You do not want to be one of those. You want to make a stand, to make a difference, to know the truth, and to let his truth lead, guide, and direct you. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Do you know who does part of that? What is that brightness, and what is that fire he wanted us to kindle? Okay. That brightness is truth. It's the word of God. And he wants you to see that that word has a good lift, a good start. And we're going to fan it, and we're going to kindle it, and we're going to let the truth go around this world where there will at least be those that do care, that are willing to make that stand, will not be embarrassed, deceived, or misled when that comes. Well, who is he going to destroy? Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, meaning one of the powers of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders. All a bunch of lies. You know what part of the lie is? You don't have to understand the book of Revelation. Don't you know? You're going to be gone. That's a lie. The word revelation means to unveil or to make known. Why would God call it the book that is to be made known if you're not supposed to know it? Why would you let some man tell you that when God tells you otherwise? It's a good question. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness, I mean, he's loaded with it, of unrighteousness in them that perish. You want to join them? I don't. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Salvation is a beautiful thing. But there's a little more to it. What do you mean more to it? Christ paid the price, we're all saved. You know, if you believe on him. But also, you've got to believe his word and do it. Otherwise, you're a Satan worshiper if you worship Satan when he appears first. Verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So, you see, this is how the lie grows so easily. God allows it. If they are too ignorant, that's not a bad word. It simply means they don't know. Okay. If they don't know any better, and they won't make a stand, and they won't separate themselves from the ways of the world, and stand still and let God talk to them, then they get their deservance. Okay. God says, I'll let the lies just pour out on them, and they'll believe them. I don't have to tell you they'll believe them. How many of you have tried to talk to someone and share the word of truth? They turned on you. They wouldn't listen. I don't have time. You know, when you're too busy for God, then he's too busy for you. And you're in bad shape. Your credibility is going down the tubes. The one that can save you does not wish to ignore you because he loves you. So you want to be willing to make that commitment. God will allow that lie to come forth. It's going to. But you can take that staff just as Moses did and part those lies and deception with the word of God until they fall in the sea and bring truth forth. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wanted to play church. Little church next door. It's according to whether God bless every church that teaches the Word of God. Okay. Chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Not some one verse Charlie that takes one verse and then blows hot air for an hour. Okay. But let God's Word speak. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning, when? The beginning, that means the first earth age, if you would, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. God's elect are set to one side. They know that truth, and they've known since they were children. There was more to God's Word than they'd been taught. And so it is. Otherwise, if that seems like that's kind of off the board for you, put her on the shelf and sleep on. Okay. Have a nice rest. Verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel, Paul speaking, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the result. Okay. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. That's why we came here. Okay. Stand firm. Or you stand for nothing. You're a nobody. Unless you make that stand to know the truth, to know the true coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that the fate comes first. It's just like the great book of Matthew 24 we just finished teaching, where some people will tell you, oh Lord, I want to be that first one taken in the field. And what's the subject? Antichrist is coming first to deceive people. And they say they want to go first? Question mark? That's the height of deception, of ignorance, to have the subject being the coming of Antichrist and then want to be taken by him first. They pay no attention to the subject, the object, or the article. Most children can read if you leave them alone, and most of them could teach if you don't clutter their minds with nonsense and let them follow subject, article. You got to make that stand. Stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught. What are those traditions? It's the doctrine of Jesus Christ, that the false one comes first. That you make that stand in faith and in love. 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. That's everlasting. That's eternal, my friend. Verse 17, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Well, what's the good word? God's word. What's the work? Your work in bringing that word forth. You know, it doesn't mean you got to be a preacher or teacher or something like that. It's just that, you know, when you have the truth, you don't shake up easily. Because you know what's coming down the road, what's coming down the pike. And you're either going to, you know that you're going to find a way over it, under it, around it, or through it. You're going to do it because you're a can-do type person. And you know that God's going to show you and your credibility, the fact that you stand for something is ever, ever so very important. Now in closing, chapter 6, the great book of Revelation. Chapter 6, the great book of Revelation. Why you should be able to make a stand. Why we came all this distance. Verse 6. I'm sorry, chapter 6, verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. We know that when that fourth vial is poured out, this happens. What the sixth seal, the sixth trump, and the sixth vial, that's 666, that's Satan's number. This is when he comes. And what is this earthquake? Is Michael throwing him out of heaven? Okay. Verse 13. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs. You better learn the parable of the fig tree. When she is shaken of a mighty wind. In other words, the great day of the dispatching of Satan to this earth. 14. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. In other words, this is just before the great follow-up of the catapult. 15, and the kings of the earth and the great men. This is the 10 earthly kings of Revelation, and also the 10 kings that Satan brings with him. And the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. What were they doing? 16. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. What Lamb? The Lamb of God. Why would they want to do that? They thought they were good Christian people. They woke up finally through that sixth seal and realized they'd been in bed with Satan. Went to church all their life. Were real pew potatoes. It's Amen Corner even. And then realized the first one that showed up, though he claimed to be Christ. You see, that's what Antichrist in the Greek tongue means, instead of Jesus, instead of Christ. Not antifreeze as you would use it in English. It means he comes instead of the true Messiah. They've worshipped him, and they are too ashamed to face the true Christ, the true Lamb of God, the Lamb slain. Because they were really pretty good people. They were just asleep. Because they hadn't studied this Word of God. They hadn't read it with the simplicity in which Christ brings it forth. How much easier could he have made it that Satan comes first than he has in these chapters? One little short lecture we've had today. I could follow that up with a dozen more. That you'll be deceived if you accept the first one. That's why they're so ashamed. Don't find yourself in that crowd. Don't. What a shame that would be to have to know you were claimed to be a Christian. And then you have to face the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I've worshipped Satan. You know what he says? A lot of people say, when I return, a lot of people are going to run to me and say, oh, Jesus, we've healed in your name. And you get away from me. I never knew you. Because they're talking to the wrong Christ. As many times as Antichrist is written in the Word of God, they don't seem to realize that. Why we came here is in the next verse, 17, to complete the lecture. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who is able to stand? Who is able to make that stand? You are. You can make that stand because you have on the full gospel armor of God to stand against the fiery darts of Satan. And you can do it. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm quoting. And you have nothing to hide and nothing to be ashamed of. And you stand firm and you make that stand, and on that day you can stand proudly, knowing you carried that banner, and that banner is Christ. That you never wavered, you never failed. That you were a true spiritual virgin right up to the end. Not one molested spiritually by the false Christ, and ready to participate in that final wedding, spiritually speaking, of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the time to make that stand, to make a difference. Don't ever let that stand cause you to be one that is arrogant, one that is short-sighted, and one that knows it all. Never take that role. You must always go to the level of the person you're talking with and bring them to where you are. It is not important how much you know. What is important is, can you help them? Can you bring them up? In other words, you're to be a fisher of men. And when you go out fishing, you don't say, oh, look, there's a big old trout. Pick up the anchor and throw it at them. Okay. How many trout are you going to catch? None. Okay. No, you fish. You take the truth. And you throw that truth out there. Where is America mentioned in the Word of God? Where we left out the superpower of superpowers in these end times? England knows God wouldn't leave us out. That He uses us. So fish with truth and pull people into that net of truth and comfort, whereby on that day they also can stand and stand for something, and that something is our Heavenly Father making proud. Won't you do that? Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for the truth. Thank you, Father, for giving us the ability to stand, Father, to stand on your word, and to utilize that word to touch the hearts and the minds and the souls of people around this world. In Jesus' precious name, amen, amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our Holy Spirit.